servants. And as such, amen, we want to do our best, for we serve, and I want you to look at the parameters here, amen, we serve, to serve God is to serve his creation. Let me say that again. To serve God is to serve his creation. Amen. Can't you hear the Lord Jesus saying, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Amen, amen, amen. We can't go to heaven and serve the Lord, but we can certainly serve him through our brothers and our sisters. Amen. We can serve him through the body of Christ. We serve him in the community. We serve him on our jobs. And I guess I need to stop there because some folk don't understand that. Amen. Amen. We show God at work. Amen. It ought to be a good day's pay. Amen. You ought to give a good day's work. Amen. I ain't messing with you. I'm just telling you. Amen. If you take the money, do the job. Moving right along. Amen. As Christians, we serve because that's who we are. Amen. Amen. So the issue is not, do we serve? I mean, we all agree. Yes, yes, we serve. But the issue is, how do you serve? Amen. Do you feel compelled or forced? Or do we serve the Lord with gladness? Amen. I'm just glad to be able to do it. Do you realize that every time I come to this pulpit, I get a bad case of the I can't help it? Amen. I just believe that when we come together collectively, we ought to praise him. Amen. Can't you hear him saying in verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord? Now, I've always said that there is no way to make quiet noise. Somebody didn't get that. There is no way to make quiet noise. Amen. You ought to come before him with exuberant praise. Amen. And you know how you can lift your hands and say hallelujah. You can lift your hands and say praise you, Lord. You can lift your hands and say thank you, Jesus. Amen. I know that we've become so refined and dignified. We don't want folk to know that we say thank you, Jesus. But I'm just old school, and so I say thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Do you feel compelled to praise him? Do you feel compelled to serve him? You know, I never believe that we ought to have to manipulate folk to serve the Lord. Should not have to manipulate people to give. Amen, amen. I can remember as a young man, it used to be a big thing in the church. And anybody who's over 65, you remember too. Amen. I want all the men to give $5. Y'all remember that? Yeah. Amen. Anybody who think he a man, give. You don't have to manipulate folk. Amen. If you love the Lord, you'll do it because the love that you have for him. Because you know he's worthy of all that we do. Amen. Amen. He's worthy. Psalm 100 is a call to praise. With a declaration of why the Lord is worthy of praise. Now, the why is the rationale for the gladness. I see somebody looking at me. I need to tell you that again. The why we praise him is the rationale for the gladness. Now, again, definition, glad, causing pleasure. Amen. You get all warm and fuzzy, and you get all joyful, amen, because of who he is, amen. When we praise God, number one, we praise God because it prepares you for service. Amen. When you hear, as is recorded in Psalm 99 and 1, your Bibles are open, so you see this. The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. We know that we serve a great and gracious God, and we know that God is in control. The word reign means he calls all things to operate, and they operate the way he wants them to. And so somebody quickly says, well, Pastor, all that mess that's going on in Washington, is he orchestrating that? No, but he can stand in the middle of it and cause it to work together for good. Amen. And so I don't get upset when I see the things that go on, because I know my God is greater than whatever is coming against us. Number two, God is great. Amen. 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 Look what it says in verse 3. Amen. It is he that hath made us. Now, if you're thinking that you are self-made, forget that. You're not self. I'm a self-made man. You know, all this draw yourself up by your bootstraps. You can't do that. Amen. You need some help. And I'm glad we serve a God who's able to help us. Amen. 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 And you don't have to send 50 cents for a prayer cloth. Amen. God will just bless you because he's God all by himself. So when we know that the Lord is great, and you think about the greatness of the Lord when we talk about his creation.
Yes, sir.
Do you realize that the sun comes up on time every time?
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Nobody has to have NASA go up to the sun and reignite it so it'll keep shining. Amen. When God put it in a flame, when he said, let there be, it has been functioning the way it's supposed to ever since.
Yes.
Amen. What an awesome God we serve.
Yes.
He can fix it. Yes, where you don't need to do anything else but respond to it. Hallelujah. Now those new automobiles you buy, amen, you buy it at the dealership and it's headed to the junkyard. The Lord is great. And then he says, let them praise the great and awesome name, for his name is holy. Amen. Isn't it amazing that we serve a God who's absolute holy? And it's interesting that he says, since God is holy, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, see, some folk don't realize that, but as members of the body of Christ, we represent him. What you say represents him. What you do represents him. And sometimes in a very negative way, we show our God in a very bad light. We show our God in a very bad light. Amen. But when you can show him as the loving God that he is, the one who loved you enough to send his son to die for you, amen, you're saying God is love. Y'all have read that, haven't you? God is love. We would not know love except God exemplified love. He is the embodiment of love. He is the personification of love. And he tells us that by this all men will know that you are my disciples. How? Not because you're loud, but because you show love. You're demonstrating love one for the other. And let me tell you something. You can hardly love me and cuss me out.
Amen.
No, I ain't going to tell y'all. I'm going to tell these folks. You can't love me and cuss me out. If you love me, amen, love will hide a multitude of faults. Amen. 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 When the first time I took Sister Jones out and she was going to make dinner for me, amen, she had some beans and franks. I said, yum, yum, these are the best franks I ever had. Love will make you. You happy with you? Oh, yeah, this is wonderful. Amen. 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 We praise him, for his name is holy. We exalt the Lord our God, and we worship at his holy hill, because he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Amen. So praise prepares you for service. But now, you'll notice he says in verse 3, know ye, knowledge motivates you to serve. Amen. When you know that the Lord is good. Now, somebody need to recognize, it was the Lord that woke you up this morning. See, now you're thinking that was the alarm clock, or you're thinking it was habit. But the truth of the matter is, there are folk who are much better than all of us, slept right on into eternity. But because God is a good God, amen, he numbers our days and he watches over us, amen, he takes care of us, and we can say the Lord is good and his mercies are everlasting. Amen, amen, amen. Isn't it amazing that we don't treat him right, but he treats us right? Isn't it amazing how he will just keep loving us? Amen, amen, amen. Even Johnny Taylor said, I don't want no part-time lover. I had to reach somebody else, you see. Yeah, but God will keep working on you till he gets the totality of your love. But he is good. Amen, amen. And then we need to also recognize that he is the creator. Amen. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We need to know that we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Which brings me to number 3 point. We serve at his pleasure. Amen. We serve at his pleasure. What God wants from us, amen, he directs us and then he prepares us to be able to do it. Amen. He gives us everything that is necessary to carry out the task that he has assigned to us. I wish I had somebody that can hear what I'm saying, because sometimes we want the Lord to make us. Amen. The fact that he's already told you what to do, that's your motivation. Amen. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, because I'm conscious of the fact that night's going to come. Amen. Knowledge motivates you to serve. You cannot know, as you look around and see all these folk that are hurting, that you're not going to involve yourself in the shoebox, in the coats and diapers. That's just so much hurt. And the Lord has prepared us, amen, because all of us have got a dime above expenses. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Amen. You know, the only time we get poor is when we at church. Amen. Watch folk at the casino. Oh, that's right. Y'all don't go to the casino. Folk will spend money that they don't have. Amen. Just keep being Mr. Big Bucks. But when we come to church, well, you know, I'm on a fixed income. Can I tell y'all something? This is a digression, but I want you to know all of our wages are fixed. God fixes them all. He knows what he's doing, and he tells us how to handle that he gives to us. All right, that's for free. Amen. When we talk about know God, we have to perceive that he is God, and then we recognize all that God does. Amen. Have you ever thought about how he keeps you as you go down 59, hot highway 6? How when that person almost got you and you said, boy, I sure was lucky. No, you were not lucky. God controlled the environment. Well, let's get to where we were headed in this message, because this is Thanksgiving coming up. Thanksgiving keeps you serving. See, praise prepares you to serve. Knowledge motivates you to serve, but thanksgiving keeps you serving. Even the reason that we can serve, because we are thankful to him. And isn't it amazing that he says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. We ought to have a heart of gratitude. Lord, I know it was you. Can't you hear the psalmist said, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side. When the enemies rose up against me, they would have swallowed me up quick. But oh, the God that we have, that holds us in the hollow of his hand. Amen. He has set bounds that Satan cannot get to you unless he permits it. Oh, go ahead, Pastor. And even when he permits it, it's because God wants to show Satan that even on his best day, Satan's best day, amen, he is no match for God on any day. Yeah. See, if you want to understand what I'm talking about, think about when the children of God came together and Satan came with them, and the Lord God asked Satan, where are you going? Which is really saying you ain't part of, you didn't get an invitation. But see, Satan is bold and brash. He'll show up uninvited. He's just like shame. Amen. Shame will show up. Nobody invites shame. He just shows up. Amen. But the scripture says, God asked him where, and he said, I'm just going up and down, going to and fro. Yeah, but to see the brother Peter looked at it and said, but he is as a roaring lion. He's going to and fro seeking whom he may devour. But God said, have you considered my servant Job? And he said, you remember what he said? Yeah, I thought about it, but you got a hedge around him. And God has that same hedge around us. Now, sometimes he moves it and he allows Satan to touch us. But what we must understand is that when God allows it, God knows what he's doing. And greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. And so we look at thanksgiving. It keeps us serving. Lord, thank you for deeming me worthy to be used in your service. You know, the truth of the matter is, I acknowledge I have nothing to bring to the table, but God said, I can take the least of these and use them in my service. And when God motivates you, when God gives you that is necessary, he energizes you. Amen. Amen. You know you can do all things. Amen. Because Christ strengthens you for the task. Now, for some people, you remember when Barack Obama kept you, yes, we can, yes, we can. And everybody said, boy, that's a great saying. The Bible has been telling you that all the time. Yes, we can. Amen. You can do it if you want to do it. You got to have a desire to do it. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. Amen. When we think about, people might not see much in you, but God sees, and God is the one that matters. Amen. You can call me whatever you want. Just call me for dinner, but you can call me whatever. But when I understand that it's really not about how I look or any of those things, and to give you an example of that, the Lord told Samuel to go down to Jesse's house and anoint him a king. And when Samuel got to Jesse's house, amen, the one that would ultimately be anointed was out in the field, and they didn't even call him in. How'd you like to have a meeting and you left out? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said, anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And when Samuel got there, he had all them big robust boys, Eliab, they all passed by. This got to be the one. But you see, God doesn't look at the outer man. God looks at the heart. Amen, amen. And so, amen, Abinadab and Shammah, they all passed by, and they were not the ones. And so Samuel says, do you have any others? He says, oh, yeah, I got a little boy out there, but, you know, he's just taking care of the sheep. Now, it is so amazing to me. And I'm reminded how God had to point that out to David. In 2 Samuel 7, verse 8, now therefore, so shall thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee. Are y'all watching this? I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And God still does that. God still takes us and uses us, not because of who we are, but because of who he is. And he causes us to do it to his glory, that every saint can say hallelujah. One of the things that I want friendship to be able to say, and I want you to be conversant with, saying hallelujah. Amen. That's praise ye Jehovah. It ought to just be able to roll off our lips. Thank you, Lord. Praise ye Jehovah. You're worthy of the praise. You're worthy of all that we do. Amen. I can never do enough for what God has done for me. Amen. Amen. And then if you look at the text says his goodness and his mercy, amen, they ought to inspire you to serve. When you think about how good God is, amen, I just want to serve him. And I want to serve him by being a blessing to somebody. And I don't know about you, but you can look around and you see there's always a need. There's always someone you can bless. Amen. Not everybody needs financial help. Somebody just needs a good word. Amen. Somebody needs to tell somebody, peace, my brother. Peace, my sister. Amen. It's just a matter of God puts you where he wants you to be a blessing. Let the Lord lead you in a plain path. Amen. Romans 2, amen, verse 4 tells us, it is the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. And for every now and then, we just need to tell somebody, God is good. Amen. God is a good God. He's worthy to be praised. Amen. And when you understand that we can praise him in our own way, amen, you don't have to be exuberant as I am. Amen. You don't have to bounce around and jump around. You might just in quiet meditation, amen, just lift up your voice and say, thank you, Lord. Amen. It doesn't matter how you do it, as long as you do it. Amen. When you look at the need to bless somebody, there will always be a need. Jesus said, the poor you will have with you always. So there will always be a need for that. But in the middle of the Lord's house, there's always a need. Amen. There's a need for those that will work in the foyer, those that are called the greeters. Those will be the first ones that people see when they come into the house of God. They ought to have a voice and a face that says, thank you for serving with us today. Have I got a witness? Amen. When you've got a face that says, I welcome you. Amen. Not one that looks like you've been chewing on bitter lemons. Amen. 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 If you're going to have that person, let them do something else. Don't put them on the door. And then when you've got, amen, you come in the room and you've got ushers that greet you and help you be comfortable in the house of God. That's a way of serving. And then when the deacons pray and they do what they do, they are praising the God that we serve. And then the ministers of the gospel preach, amen, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Lives are made better when the gospel is preached. But it's made so much better when we appropriate the word to our lives. Uh-huh. Dropped that one on you, didn't I? Amen. It's not enough just to preach it. Amen. We have to hear it, but then we become obedient to what God says. And when we obey him in everything, we begin to look like him. Amen. Psalm 107, verse 15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. When we can say emphatically, oh, praise him for what he does continually. In verse Psalm 107 and verse number 21, he says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wondrous works to the children of men. Verse 31, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. The Lord is not just saying that in three places just to say it. See, sometimes we read the word and we think he just ran out of words. No, he had plenty of words. But he wants us to understand that he wants us, amen, to praise him for his goodness. Uh-huh. When we come in, not because it's the melody that gets us going. It ought to be the fact that we serve a God who blesses us. Talk to me if you can. Amen. God wakes you up on time every day. God starts you out on your way. He keeps you in a special keeping. When the enemy wants to wipe you out, God is there. Oh, when God is for you, who can be against you? I don't know about you, but I want to praise him every chance I get. Have I got a witness? And then it's not enough just to say I praise him. My lifestyle ought to praise him. People ought to be able to differentiate between those who say they are Christian, amen, and those who are not. You know, too oft times we got to have a placard that says, I am a Christian. You don't need that. Amen. Just show it as you live day by day. I don't know whether you can understand that God said, I've already died. I need you to live. Amen. And when we understand that God wants us to show in our lifestyle that he is a good and gracious God, that he is a loving God, that he loves us unconditionally, then we can find ourselves loving unconditionally. Amen. It's not what folk do for you, and it's not what they do to you. It's all because the Lord said that we are to love ye one another. And see, for those who don't understand love, can I show you love in a very quick assessment? Amen. Go back to Calvary. Amen. Go back to Calvary. I want you to see what love really is. I want you to see a man that is beaten until his skin looked like ribbons hanging off his back. And he never said a murmuring word. I want you to see them as they beat him mercilessly, and he did not open his mouth. He was as a lamb led before her shearer dumb. He opened not his mouth. Amen. When they compelled him, after having beaten him, compelled him to carry his cross, he never said a murmuring word. But isn't it amazing that there was a black man, I always like to tell that, a black man flexing his muscles, amen, and when the Roman soldiers came, they compelled him to help Jesus bear his cross. Dr. Watts looked at it in later years and said, must Jesus bear this cross alone and all the world go free? He came to the understanding, no, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. The Bible said he went up a hill that was called Golgotha. Amen. There were those who had administered crucifixion before, but there was something about the way Jesus died. Amen. They laid the cross on the ground. He laid on the cross. He let them nail his hands. He let them put rivets in his feet. He let them lift him up because he already had said, and I, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. You see, as long as they kept him down, it was all right. But when they lifted him up, they made a mistake, because instead of the cross being an object of shame and derision, it has a wondrous glory now that the God that we serve loved us enough to come in human form, die on the cross. But the good news is they took him down and put him in a borrowed grave. Isn't it amazing? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and yet he had not where to be buried. I want you to know that he endures poverty not for his sake, but for our sake, that out of his poverty we might become rich. I feel like preaching now. Down here we might not have two nickels to rub together, but he said, that's all right, because I've got a kingdom already aligned for you. I got a mansion in the sky. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to tell folk I have a mansion in the sky. Have I got a witness? And then the Bible said that when they put him in the borrowed grave, they had a rock amen, that had been hewn out and made a tomb. And they took a rock and put in the rock. And then they put a rock around the rock. There was a rock in the rock, a rock in front of the rock. And then they put a seal on the rock. And then they stood guard outside of the rock. Oh, Lord. But I want us to see that when Jesus got up, thank you, Holy Ghost, laying there. I heard the preacher say when he got up, he didn't do like we do. When you pull off your garments and lay them to the side, when Jesus got up, he just got up through his clothes. Are y'all not hearing me? He just got up and left the grave clothes lying there. Have I got a witness? And then the napkin that had been around his head, they laid it aside, and the Prince of Life walked out. Somebody said, well, they moved the rock so that the disciples could look in. No, no, the truth of the matter is, yes, they wanted to make it possible that when they got to the sepulcher, they'd be able to see that he's not here. He's risen as he said. He got up with all power in his hand. He walked out of the sepulcher. And then the Bible said Mary met him on the road. And she looked at him and not recognizing her Savior, said, sir, if you moved him, tell me where you laid him. But the Bible tells me, he said, Mary, Mary. There's something about the way he could say Mary. Nobody could say Mary like Jesus could say Mary. When he said Mary, she slipped down and embraced around his ankles. But I hear him said, don't hold to me now. I'm not risen, but I'm going to your Father, and I'm going to my Father. And I want you to know that the Bible says that he tabernacled here for 40 days. He stepped on a cloud and went on to glory. But he left a word for us. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Yeah. I'm coming back. Are you ready for Jesus to come back? Jesus said, when I come back, there'll be those that's working on the housetop, and you won't have time to come down. You need to be ready when he comes back. There'll be men in the field when I come back. But if you're not ready, Jesus said, you can't go back with him. But I'm glad. Those that have confessed the hope in him, they're going back with him, where every day will be Sunday. The Sabbath will be without end. Have you thought about? All of us will spend eternity somewhere. And the prophet Amos said, prepare to meet thy God. My question to you as we prepare to extend the privilege to the church, have you made peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ? You do know that he is the only way. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. But the truth of the matter is, he is the only way to get to the Father. You must go through Jesus. And if you have not expressed a hope in him, you got time. That's good news. You've got time. Right now is the appointed time. How do we come? With all your faults and with all your habits. Amen. The blood that Jesus shed will wash them whiter than snow. But I want you to, and I'm done, but I want us to understand that it's not an instantaneous, your salvation is instantaneous, but it's a process to move and grow in grace. But you got to get started. Amen. The journey of 1,000 miles starts with a step. If you have not come to the Lord, have not expressed a hope in him, you know, there are some tangible reasons that you ought to be a member of God's church. Yeah. Amen. There are privileges that goes with membership. Hallelujah. I have a covering when I'm a member of God's church.
Right.
Amen. I can make demands when I'm a member of God's church. So if you're here today, as we stand, would you come? How do we come?